Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to What Matters in North Carolina. My name is Mark Shiver, and having a great day. I hope that you are. And always a pleasure to get behind this microphone and talk to you, our listener, and remind you that we appreciate you listening. Thank you so much for being a part of this podcast. We're doing our best to bring you content that is relevant for you and your family, your friends, and keep you up to date on what matters in North Carolina. Well, we are going to talk to Senator Dan Bishop. And that's a big deal because I called him on the phone and I called him representative and he didn't say anything, but he's not in the House of Representatives anymore. He's in the Senate, so I have to make sure I don't goof that up. But Senator Dan Bishop from Mecklenburg County, and we've had him on the show a couple of times. He's a great guest. He's talked to us about his part in authoring House Bill 2, and we're going to talk to him today about, well, I don't even know how to characterize what we're going to talk to him about, because the people that we are going to let you hear from in the video that we're going to play when we talk to Senator Bishop, it's hard to believe. Really hard to believe what you're going to hear. And some people chased and verbally assaulted Governor Pat McCrory over the weekend. And with him were some females. I'm not sure who they were, whether it was his wife or someone else. But Lou Dobbs, media fame. You've known Lee, Lou. He's on CNN for a long time. But they were walking down the street, and some people began to shout at Governor McCrory, former Governor McCrory. You're a bigot. You're an anti-gay bigot. They used profanity. And I'll be honest with you, folks, I didn't know what was going on there, because as I was watching, I didn't know how it was going to end. And so they ended up pinning Governor McCrory and his friends in an alley, and they were trying to get into a building and the door wouldn't open. It wasn't locked. So I didn't know if these people were going to physically attack former Governor McCrory and his friends or what. It was disturbing, to say the least. And so Senator Dan Bishop saw this, and he immediately sent an email to the News and Observer, or the Charlotte Observer, the McClatchy folks, because as is their custom, their coverage of this was just weak. That's the only thing you can say, just weak, almost non-existent. They covered the video. It was originally posted on Facebook. But, oh, did we leave out that these people shouting are part of a socialist organization? Gee, we're journalists, and yet somehow we left that out. You know, really? So it's just well, I could go for 2 hours about journalism today or the lack thereof, but I won't do that. But anyway, Senator Bishop said, you know what, this is dangerous. This is something that needs to be looked into. And he sent an email to the McClatchy folks and announced that he was going to draft legislation when the General Assembly convenes tomorrow that will provide penalties if a public official, current or former, is accosted in such a manner. And you know what? Good for you, Senator. Because, folks, I don't know. Maybe it's because I was raised in South Carolina, here in the South, and, you know, you just do things differently. But you have to have respect for the office. Did I like Beverly Perdue? No, I thought she was a horrible governor. Would I chase her down an alley and call her names? No. I would never even think of, you know, hanging out behind former Governor Hunt and waiting till he turned down an alley and begin to shout at him and verbally accost him and put him in fear for his personal safety. I mean, who does that? That type of thought would never, ever materialize in my head. I just don't get it. We're seeing on full display, like a huge south of the border billboard on 995, flashing with neon, leftist hate, leftist hate. It is almost a daily occurrence now. Example after example of the glaring difference between those in the militant left and their tactics and their lack of respect. The difference between them and just regular folks, whether they be liberal or conservative. I know lots of people who have a progressive mindset. They identify as liberals, and they wouldn't chase a former governor down an alley. I mean, folks, most folks aren't like that. The vast majority of people, regardless of whether they're liberal or conservative or moderate or whatever, they don't do that sort of thing. We're seeing an emergence of a militant leftist group of people who just, we don't care. We got you now. That's what they said. Can you imagine these women? And no, I'm not demeaning women. I know we had the big women's march. But I mean, put yourself in that position. You know, you and your buddies out and you've got some females with you and all of a sudden people are, cornering you in an alley, saying, we got you now, calling you names, swearing at you. What's next? Going to throw a brick at me? Going to hit me? I mean, it's very disturbing. So we're going to talk to Senator Dan Bishop about this and what can be done to afford some protection to public officials, current and former, here in North Carolina. And I think you'll find this to be a great, great segment with Senator Dan Bishop. Thanks for listening to What Matters in North Carolina, and we appreciate you spreading the word and letting people know. You can find us at freedomactionnetwork.com, also in the iTunes and Google Play stores as well. It is always a pleasure to welcome back to What Matters in North Carolina, Senator Dan Bishop, and I almost called you representative, but you have moved across the building to the other chamber.
How about that? Hey, Mark.
How you doing, sir?
I'm great. Good to be with you.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you, as I said, and I wanted to talk to you today about some behavior of some people in Washington that was directed at our former governor, Pat McCrory. And before we get into that, I'll just let our listeners hear a little bit about what he was subjected to in Washington. Well, that certainly was something that we hated to see happen, Senator, to our governor, because I'm of the belief, personally, that regardless of one's opinions or beliefs, whether or not they like the way somebody has governed, there's a certain amount of respect for the office that we should have, and apparently these folks don't have any.
You're hopelessly old-fashioned, Mark. Seems to be. You know, as I say, I think decency and courtesy and custom have fallen by the wayside. I agree with you, but you know, one thing to add, even before I give you an opportunity to ask a question, is that a picture is worth a thousand words, and what was added to that accosting was that the governor sought to move away. And as he tried to move away from these folks, they pursued him, so that he was then pinned against the rear entry doors of a building. And then one of them says, "We've got you now." And it's crossed the line.
Well, and you know, fortunately, there was no physical accosting of the governor. I believe he was also with Lou Dobbs there. Media personality, but as I was watching that, Senator, I didn't know that they were not going to, you know, physically attack him. I mean, I was concerned for the welfare of Governor McCrory.
Well, exactly, and that's you know, I think as a matter of policy and responsibility, that ultimately becomes the concern, is that, you know, we've watched other events over the course of that same day. I thought at one point it happened on Saturday. This is, as I understand, someone said subsequently that it happened on Friday, whichever it was, in the same 24 hours, roughly, one way or the other, we saw, you know, storefront windows being bashed out at Bank of America and Starbucks, and we saw a limousine torched. Lots of other things. And so if people are doing things, there was a violent attack up there on someone, after seeing that reference. It's too late once we allow the governor, former governor of North Carolina, to be attacked. That cannot happen.
No. Well, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I just think that what you just said was so on point, that decency has gone by the wayside. I think that if, I don't know how much of the women's march that you were able to see as far as some of the signs and posters and things that were being carried around. But, Senator, I'll tell you, I've never seen anything like what I saw just scrolling through social media, the vulgarity. And it's amazing. But I think that you had a response yesterday to what you saw when Governor McCrory was followed. And we don't know if these people just happened upon him or if they were stalking him. But you think that the General Assembly ought to do something. Tell us about that.
Well, what I have put out in a press release and what I have embarked on looking into it has two parts. I looked quickly just because I was curious, and the statute in Washington, D.C. that would make it criminal for someone to assault or intimidate, harass a current or former elected official. And one of the things that, you know, we've always relied in North Carolina on courtesy and custom. And so I asked central staff to explore whether it would be appropriate or what sort of a statute we might have like that in North Carolina. I will tell you that I've been informed already today that we have a statute that protects current executive, legislative, and judicial officials. It also protects people who've been elected but are not yet in office. And I think that may be a good one to modify to make it to extend protection to people who are former officials, particularly with Governor McCrory in mind, given the kind of rancid, you know, tactics that are engaged in by folks like these professional anarchist socialist protesters. They're not protesters, the wrong word, rioters.
Yeah.
They've made this their function and their process. So that's one part. The other part, which I think is equally or maybe more important, as I sat there watching that video, what was really going through my head, as you said, was what, you know, it could easily have been otherwise. That is to say, people prepared to, since they showed no restraint, there's no reason to believe they'll be restrained when it comes to injuring the governor.
Right.
So in my personal opinion, the governor ought to have security whenever he wants it for an appropriate period of time. And again, I don't think that's ever been the practice in North Carolina, but I think we need to reevaluate.
Well, I'll tell you, I need to repeat that. I'm not just making that up or trying to be, you know, sensational. I didn't know what I was watching, and they sure were getting close to him, and they had him and the people he was with pinned in that alley. And, you know, I was expecting somebody to throw something at him or take a swing at him, and it was very uncomfortable watching that. Now, you have called these people a chanting mob and ubiquitous leftist rioters, and I think that's pretty accurate, Senator.
Yeah, it is. That's the other thing, the other phenomenon or the other part of this that is of interest to me. And as you know, I haven't been in the General Assembly that long, and so a lot of experiences remain new to me. But one that has been interesting is the behavior of the mainstream media, legacy media, whatever you want to call it, which is dominated in this state print-wise by McClatchy,
right.
News and Observer and The Observer. And when I first saw the article on this that drew my attention to it, that had the videotape, you know, I noticed that gave photo credit. You know how you see at the bottom of a video or photo in the newspaper or news organization, they'll have the name of a photographer maybe in the agency he's with, right?
Right.
You see that a lot of times. They'll have a name and UP or UPI or AP. And so that's how this was. Their article at The Observer was just sort of this nonchalant, wow, it's sort of tough to be a former governor when you signed HB2, which, first of all, seemed to me to be a contemptible, and I called it that, a contemptible outlook on this event. If you don't have any more decency than the anarchist rioters we're looking at in your reportage of it. But as to that crediting of this person, his name was Uday Basarajab, I believe. And I was just curious who that was, and I wondered, you know, when you write a good news story, you do the who, what, when, where, right? You try to anticipate and answer the reader's questions.
Right.
Well, they seemed to be totally uninterested in who that was, so I looked him up. And turns out he and some of his cronies who were tagged in the Facebook post are socialists, and apparently from some of the stuff I've read, anarchists. I mean, real bona fide, card-carrying socialist organizers.
Right.
And they were from Greensboro, North Carolina. One of them's employed as a graduate assistant at UNCG, and that's what we're dealing with. These folks, it's called a profession.
Yeah.
But they're about doing that. And I will say one other thing to you, Mark, if I could, real quick.
Yep.
Since that came out yesterday, today, they've organized a Twitter bombing against me. The General Assembly police sent me a notification they picked up as they reviewed apparently some social media sites. They picked up a wanted poster with my face on it.
Oh, my goodness.
Which they are looking for somebody to give them a reward if they'll come up with a shame video on me. And you should see the picture of the guy who's the sponsor of it. So this is a technique. It is a policy. It is a practice with these folks. And a lot of people are fatigued and weary of controversy in our politics. But I'll tell you, when there's nobody left to stand up to this kind of tactic, that'll be the ultimate defeat. And as long as I'm available to do this, I'm not going to tolerate it. We'll deal with it. We'll address it. We'll take it on.
Well, I, for one, as a citizen of our state, I don't live in your district, but I appreciate you being willing, to stand up for something like this, because really, I think, not to, you know, keep saying the same thing twice, but I really think that decency and a respect for the office is something that some people have completely abandoned. And I think we see it when these people go to protest at the General Assembly and they're hollering and singing and banging on the door and carrying on and, you know, not letting you guys conduct the people's business. I mean, I just can't even imagine on my worst day, Senator, doing something like that. Because
Absolutely. Well, our side cannot, Mark. That's the thing. Our side cannot imagine doing that. We don't do it. And so we've had this asymmetric warfare, and it's been going on for more than a decade. I can remember back when the first time I heard about anarchists was when they were tearing up Seattle, Washington. And that's been years ago. And it's just it is absolutely an intentional method, and our side will not engage in that. Now, I'll say to you that seeing this and reflecting, I think that's what we're seeing in part about what the Donald Trump phenomenon is our side is finally saying we're not going to unilaterally disarm in the way this is conducted. Now, we still don't do what they do. And I want to say something else real quickly. I understand and revere the First Amendment and understand that we err on the side of allowing people to do even indecent things in terms of freedom of expression. And so we have to go quite a distance to accommodate indecency. But we need not accommodate threat of force.
No.
Assaultive conduct has always been punishable. And we've been protecting former presidents for years and years because of the understandable risk. And I regret that culture, because of the left, is decaying to the point that we can no longer count on governors being safe, but it's just true that we can't.
Well, our guest is Senator Dan Bishop here, and he has seen the video of former Governor Pat McCrory being chased and shouted at, and quite frankly, a very disturbing encounter in Washington, D.C. over the weekend. And so your legislation would provide that public officials, not only current but former, can have protection. Is that correct? Am I saying that correctly?
It will protect them against this. It will provide additional penalties for folks who assault or, basically assaultive conduct against someone who's a former official, just as it does now for people who are current officials. That is the most horrendous of all insults, that someone who's had to put up with that as part of their official duties for a period of service then would be essentially left out in the open and the fact that the other side doesn't have the decency to recognize that changes once they're no longer in office. If that's the case, then they've got to have the same protections that we've devised for current officials, in my judgment.
Well, I think that's a good judgment, Senator, and I would like to also point out that you make reference to the fact that former governors Jim Hunt, Beverly Perdue, probably Mike Easley, I don't recall ever having read or seen or heard about any type of situation where they were accosted in such fashion as former Governor McCrory was over the weekend.
Yeah, in fact, you know, what Governor McCrory is suffering, this personal pursuit and attack like that, is over a question of policy. Now, people feel strongly about policy. People can disagree strongly about policy. And they can even condemn somebody over policy. But I want to illustrate this. Among the governors who have never suffered that kind of assault are Mike Easley, who's a felon, and I think back to John Edwards, the United States Senator, who was, who ended his career, as everybody knows it, somebody else is on my mind, I'm forgetting who, but maybe Jim Black, a former speaker who went to prison. Mm-hmm. You never saw that. I mean, if that would have been, you want to talk about somebody who engaged in personal conduct that might have warranted a reprimand, you just, decent people don't do what those folks are doing over a contested point of policy.
Yeah.
And so I think we have to be tough enough to confront it, and at the same time celebrate the fact that no matter what they say, the right doesn't engage in that and shouldn't.
No, you're exactly right, and I think that's a point well taken. Senator, we appreciate your time. I wanted to ask you a quick question about House Bill 2. I wrote an article yesterday that I said I think that conservatives, when they read things in the News and Observer, like Governor Cooper saying that he's been speaking with General Assembly leadership and there's a hope that that House Bill 2 might be repealed. Of course, you were one of the authors of that bill when you were in the House. My point is that conservatives, I think, might feel let down because we, and I say we because I've been one of the loudest voices that I'm aware of in supporting the General Assembly's protection of women and little girls from having men in their restrooms and locker rooms. And I feel like if they do repeal it, conservatives might feel a little let down. I just want to ask you, not about the policy and not about whether or not it's going to be repealed, but should a conservative like myself feel let down if this bill is repealed?
I would feel let down if it were just repealed. And so I can understand entirely, and I think it's appropriate, the sentiment that you've described. I hope that that doesn't come to pass in a way that doesn't protect all of the essential aspects of it. And there are irreducible minimums for me.
Yeah.
I do not believe that I will not support anything that would forfeit the physiological privacy of people on a basis of physiological sex differences in public types of facilities. I would not, I don't believe there should be any kind of government coercion of people for some sort of new orthodoxy on sexual ethics. I think freedom must be preserved on that. I'm sensitive to the fact that leadership is seeing a controversy that's extended over a long period of time, but I think the repeal efforts that have been made were, first of all, it revealed a few things. Democrats voted against it in the Senate. They want the issue. They don't want the change that they keep calling for.
Right.
And there's some value in seeing that. Otherwise, I don't know what to say about it. I mean, I understand leadership's pressure. I think a majority of Republicans in the General Assembly are unprepared to see it repealed unless there's something that's done that provides the essential protections. And so I think your sentiment about it, Mark, is 100% appropriate. And I hope you retain it, and I hope other conservatives do too. And I hope those conservatives will let the members of the General Assembly hear from you. We need to know that folks are still out there, and they still expect and demand for policy to be appropriate.
Well, I appreciate you answering that question. I certainly would never want to put you on the spot in an uncomfortable situation, but thank you for answering that question. And
I'm glad to do it.
Well, and thank you for all the work that you're doing, Senator. I think that you are one of the members of the General Assembly that, that folks can look to and know that, if nothing else, you're working really hard and you're doing your best to protect the people of our state and in a way that is practical, and we sure do appreciate it. So thank you for being our guest here once again on What Matters in North Carolina.
Thank you, Mark. It was a pleasure.
All right, sir. Have a great day. Always a pleasure, as I said, to talk with Senator Dan Bishop. I think he's right on. I like him. You know, agree with him, disagree. He's another one of the politicians that serve in our General Assembly. He's not going to lie to you. He's going to tell it to you straight. And you can either agree with him or disagree. But I appreciate the breath of fresh air that comes from talking to Senator Bishop, because he is a straight shooter. And there are a lot of representatives and senators who are that way down at the General Assembly. And on the other hand, there are some that, you know, you can just tell they're using that politi-speak, you know, that spin. But you won't hear spin from Senator Dan Bishop. Senator Tillman is another one that what you see is what you get, you know. He's going to tell you what he thinks, whether you like it or not. And that's refreshing. It's good. You don't need to wonder if, you know, somebody's telling you something because they are a politician and they're trying to get reelected. So I would encourage you to, as Senator Bishop said, reach out to your representative or senator and let them know you think that this kind of behavior from these socialists accosting Governor McCrory and his friends and chanting at them and following them into an alley is inappropriate, and that there should be protection, and that you would support legislation offered by Senator Bishop. Thank you very much. Speaking of support, for your support of this podcast by telling your friends, your family, getting the word out, we appreciate your help in that regard. You can find us on Facebook, you know, facebook.com/whatmattersnc, and also on Twitter at whatmattersnc. As always, you can download the show in the iTunes and Google Play stores, or just go to freedomactionnetwork.com, where you'll find What Matters in North Carolina, also the NC Gundad show, and Free to Brew. So check out all the good podcasts there as well. Until next time, my name is Mark Shiver. Thanks so much for listening to What Matters in North Carolina.